Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to Educational HR Radio on the HR Power Hour. We appreciate you joining us today as we have quite a show for you. We have John Butler, and he has a book out called Health Insurance Sucks. John, I must be honest with you. I don't think there's a single person on planet Earth that's going to disagree with your premise.
My wife didn't like the name just because it said the word sucks. My own mom used to consider that a swear word. So I can understand why some people might have a little cringe, but I think most people would understand it's true.
No, it's true. And it's the moral case for better business healthcare. So let's get right to the start. First of all, why did you write the book? Kind of give me the premise behind it, where it came from, what you started to make you make this decision to write a book.
Well, I've been in the finance and insurance business since 1988. So it's a long career, but in 1996, I bought a block of business in the employee benefits space, built that up. And about 7 years ago, I started really diving deep into the research on business healthcare. I consider that the big elephant in the room because it comprises, 60 to 80% of a benefit plan now, as far as the budget. And it's kept on going up and the benefits going down. So I started my research around the country and found out that there already are solutions that exist, which was nice to find, some more complicated than others as far as descriptions of them. But the point that I really came to where I started considering writing the book, which is almost 3 years ago now, was that the distribution channel, the trusted partners that employers have to give them advice on these solutions in the marketplace, that there was built-in incentives for these people, the brokers and brokerage firms, to actually not bring up these solutions. Because in a general sense, they might lose the business. They might not even understand some of these solutions, frankly, and because they're complicated, or maybe it's so much work for so little money that they don't want to bring it up. So that really lit a fire over me. So that's kind of how I got to this place right now. A book just came out a couple of months ago. And so here we are.
No, that's awesome. So give me a little bit of your background, John. Tell me a little bit about you personally, your journey to get to the point of having this discussion.
Well, I grew up, what I say is a small town in Minnesota here called Bloomington. My first job was working at Met Stadium, selling pop and popcorn when I was 15, 16 years old. They tore that thing down to build the incredibly unpopular Mall of America. And it's kind of fond memories looking back at the Twins and the Vikings and watching the games while I was selling. But, I just kind of, after high school, was drifting a little bit, went to college, still drifted, came back, worked some odd jobs. And like I said, in 88, I decided to, get into the financial business. And, it was kind of a different kind of area for me. I wanted to be a financial planner. My friends would introduce me as an insurance agent, and I would get all pissed off at them and start yelling, and I'm not an insurance agent. Well, it turns out insurance has been almost like an obsession for me now to find out all these things behind the scenes. So if anybody calls me an insurance guy, that's okay.
Understood completely. So this book, one of the things I noticed is right in the front, it says, do not pass this page. And the title, it says, this book doesn't just offer solutions to the problems we face regarding health insurance and healthcare in this country. It offers a completely different framework of thinking regarding this subject. Take us through what somebody needs to, you know, open their mind about, because to be honest with you, most organizations, they have maybe a plan. It's probably by one of the different options. I'll tell you where we are. We have either Anthem, we have Harvard Pilgrim, we have maybe one of the other carriers. Can't think of the other ones off the top. Aetna. You have these are kind of the standard plans that are out there, unless you're maybe big enough where you might self-insure or do other things like that. So how do you get outside of the mindset of what you always have?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because, I guess I took as a minor philosophy when I was up at college, and this is a philosophical thing. Most employers, you know, when you start to dig really deep as to how employers got connected to healthcare or health insurance, don't understand that this was kind of a almost a higher level government decision when back in the World War II days, they had moratoriums, basically wage and price controls. They put, no wage increases or price increases while we were fighting the war. And it was for good reason, okay? But the government way back then said, look, you know, businesses are basically putting healthcare in for employees just to make them stick around or to entice them to come work for them. So they put in this temporary law way back then that said, we're going to allow employers to deduct those premiums. And that temporary law never changed. So if a company out there is wondering, how did I get connected to this? That's actually how it started. And an easy thing philosophically to, and this is one just paragraph in the book, is that if you worked for me, Dave, and I had a 50 person company, and I said, well, guess what? We've got a car insurance plan too. I'm able to deduct some of it. We'll pay part of your premiums for you, and it'd be a good deal for you to sign on. And then you found out that three of the people in my organization got DUIs, cracked up their cars, and your rates went up by 30%. You probably think that I was really thinking wrong about this. I mean, like, what were you thinking? My driving record is fine. But that's a very nutshell kind of description of how healthcare has been for decades in this employer space. And one of the solutions in my book talks about, the ability to break away from that nonsense and control your destiny as an employer. So I hope that answers your question sufficiently, but there's all kinds of different philosophical things, but in essence, the employer, all the employers out there, big and small, they control the purse strings and how you're delivering this for your employees. And you have a choice, believe it or not, that a lot of times you're not hearing about in the marketplace.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour. I'm your host, David Chulo, and talking with John Butler, who's the author of Health Insurance Sucks, The Moral Case for Better Business Healthcare. I'll tell you, it's interesting, as I read through your book and parsed through it. So there's an example you provide in chapter one, talking about example three, a company of 2,000 employees. Next year's healthcare budget is increasing by an additional $1 million. The brokerage firm typically responds, well, you should at least feel good that you beat the benchmark. Have we got to the point where organizations just are looking at it as a simple numbers? Is the whole part of healthcare now a little bit more about the budget more than anything else?
Yeah, the budget is probably the forefront of what most employers, focus on. And, when they compare a benchmark, I mean, in that particular story in my book, the benchmark was 8% and you only got 5%. So you should feel good about that. Companies up at that level, though, Dave, at 2,000, I mean, even like 150 and above, actually have the ability to go into the cost drivers within their plan, what is driving the prescription drug costs, what's driving the hospitalization, the outpatient surgery, and even primary care, and control those cost drivers. I mean, it's an easy thing to understand if you've got a $20 million budget and about, 80% of that or $17 million, you're paying claims out of that budget. It makes sense to have some kind of controls over that. CFOs have, all kinds of budgetary things on every other product in their portfolio. But to know how they can control the cost drivers within this one has actually not been introduced that often. I mean, I was kind of shocked about that, to understand that, and it's not me, it's the brilliant people around the United States that are doing this successfully for employers. But if you're a self-insured group and you're paying that big bucket of money, $17 million for all of your employees' healthcare claims, and you can do it differently, I would want to know about it if I was a CFO. And sometimes it's just kind of hidden behind the Wizard of Oz curtain here. They're not letting employers know about all the brilliant things out there in the marketplace. And, I have a little piece on digital healthcare in there. Digital healthcare is a pretty advanced space, but it's easy to understand how technology is improving everything else in our lives, our phones and tabs, everything else. Well, there was more money that went into venture capital in 2019 in digital healthcare than the previous 3 years combined. And how they actually use digital healthcare to control those cost drivers is literally behind the curtain right now. So that's kind of, that's the narrative in the larger company space that is self-insured, and how they can do that self-insured program differently.
Well, we're going to be talking about the three parts, which is the PEO design, the custom plan design, the cafeteria design, here in the second segment. But one of the things you put in chapter two is misaligned incentives and hidden revenue streams. Talk a little bit about that, because obviously brokerage firms, most people go through a broker. Most organizations, I should say, go through a broker. It's kind of the model, right? And I suppose if you're under 50 employees, you're kind of in the small employer space. There's not a lot of choices. It's pretty much whoever the carrier is that's going to do it. It's a lot of it is state regulated. It's kind of what it is. But the broker is still the conduit to the healthcare. So talk a little bit about the hidden revenue streams, about the misaligned incentives, and give me an overview here about that.
Yeah, one of the examples that I put in the first two chapters was a company of 200 employees that's just with one of the major carriers. And if I'm a broker and I'm delivering that, it could be Cigna, Aetna, Blue Cross, Humana, whatever it is, I'm getting paid by the insurance company on your program. Okay, so a lot of these brokers have things set up to where there's just a percentage they get of whatever your premium is. So, if it's a 100-person group and they're spending $1 million a year and that premium went up to $1.2 million and I was getting 3 or 5% of that revenue, I got a raise when your premium went up. And the second part, which is really hidden behind the scenes, is persistency bonuses. And that same chapter 1 and 2, I talk about, if your broker has kind of encouraged you to stay with the same company and renew at the same company, that company sometimes will give a persistency bonus of tens of thousands of dollars at the end of that year, just for that broker keeping the business with that particular carrier. And so that's how the incentives are misaligned. That broker, in my opinion, should be working for the employer and frankly, their employees. And if that broker has, not given you the entire picture, unfortunately, the incentives are kind of hidden from view and you wouldn't even know it sometime if you were an employer. Now, I'm not really out here to blame all the brokers out there in the whole, United States. I mean, literally, the federal government and state governments set down mandates. So here's the way the insurance company's products are offered. Insurance companies set down their mandates to the employers and participation guidelines and rules and regulations. And here's you, the broker out there. And hey, you just started working for a brokerage firm. Now, you don't even know these things, okay? But you know that revenue stream. And after you've been there a while, you understand, okay, I could probably massage this in such a way to, you know, if that particular group got an increase, I got a raise as well.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's one of those questions of, you know, whose best interest is at heart here, right? In terms of who is the broker, who is the insurance company, who's aligning who, with who to get the best rates for the organization. Hey, you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetty.
And I'm Pete McVetty from McVetty's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Wow, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one, and we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVetty's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. And remember, the HR Power Hour is also podcasted on most national podcast channels, including Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Pandora. So go there, please like us, and make sure that you listen each and every week. And we appreciate it very much. We have a year's worth of content on the podcast site, so enjoy. Of course, you can always go to the hrpowerhour.com, where we have all the shows going all the way back to the beginning, and enjoy and listen each and every week. We appreciate it so much. So today we're talking with John, good old John, and we're talking about health insurance sucks. And he's thinking to himself, what have I done to myself to get on this show to talk about health insurance? And, you know, I got to tell you, John, it's one of those things that has really come to the forefront due to the pandemic. You know, health insurance was always important, don't get me wrong, but I think it was always maybe kind of like taken a little bit like, yeah, it's kind of, you have it unless you have a problem. You really only use it when you have a problem. And then the pandemic hit. Tell us a little bit about how that's changed the game, or has it changed the game?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, our Zoom meetings now didn't exist 2 years ago. I mean, just to think about how advanced this has been from the pandemic is shocking. And that is a pretty good lead-in to understand how technology and literally the administration of all these plans. We're talking about the costs and the benefits, but how they're being administered out there is just phenomenal how much has increased. One of the PEOs that I'm connected with, you know, I talked to one of their employees on a call and she did all the enrollment herself when she came to work for the company. I mean, an email came to her, everything was done. I mean, the owner or the HR person did not have to do one thing. That's just shocking. So there's all kinds of different administrative things in the, but the other thing was, which is kind of is going to be hitting this year quite substantially. Everybody kind of understands that claims drives premiums. Okay. The higher the claims, the higher the premiums. Well, in 2020, the pandemic prevented everybody from going in. And now they're flooding in. And, you know, I mean, it's not over yet, of course. And I don't know if it'll ever be over, but most people would understand that, you know, hey, now I can get my knee done. Now I can have my back surgery. And what companies are up against at the end of this year for their renewal increases are just substantial compared to the end of 2020. So that is probably the biggest and hard-hitting thing for 2022 upcoming here.
No, it's true. It's certainly been a game changer of what's going on. You know, in the book, you talk about people being open to new ideas and new thought processes and new ways of thinking. And I mentioned at the end of the last segment, you have three different ideas or thoughts that we go to. And one is the PEO design, second is a custom plan design, and third is a cafeteria design. Let's start with the first. Very simple, very basic PEO design. Explain what that is. Explain why somebody should be interested in that. And kind of take a little bit us through the benefits and risks for that type of design.
Yeah, the PEO is the first one. And it's a, being a broker years ago, this is, I would cringe if one of my employers came to me and said, we're looking at a PEO, because I couldn't handle a PEO. Most of the brokers around the country know that they're not even licensed to handle that. It's a whole separate model. But the PEO in general sense is a suite of Fortune 500 benefits that takes not only their level of benefits up substantially, so you get a flowering of benefits by using a PEO, but it also takes a lot of the administration out of the hands of the HR person, frees up his or her time to do their job better. And so, you know, it's like you're hitching to my wagon. If I'm a PEO, I've already set up all these benefits for you, Dave. And, you know, for as little as $500 per employee per year, you can have your payroll through us, your workers' comp, your health insurance, of course, you know, dental, life, disability, even 401k. And so a company of, you know, 15 or 20 employees can compete with some larger companies out there in benefits if they've got a whole suite. And the latest PEOs, which is really the cutting edge, PEOs don't really have any kind of real magic to their health plans. But some of the more leading edge PEOs now are allowing you to carve out your health plan, still get the other benefits that I just described, but you do the health insurance the way you want to do the health insurance. And that's the cutting edge thing on PEOs. So hopefully that kind of describes that in a nutshell, outsourcing benefits rather than taking them in-house.
What's the downside of that design? In other words, obviously the employee is not your employee, correct?
Yeah, it's a co-employment situation. And in my world of thinking that I'm losing a group out there to a PEO, that's the first thing I'd bring up, okay? That has also advanced tremendously. You have a co-employment arrangement. The downside, I would consider, first off, it takes at least 2 months, maybe even 3 months to transform into a PEO. And then the other thing I would bring up is, oh boy, once you get into them, it's almost impossible to get out of them because it's a hornet's nest. Well, that has changed dramatically too with the technological advances. In fact, I just talked to a company that was with a PEO, they love them. But this company got bought out, you know, which meant that their benefits folded into a much larger company. I asked him, you know, what was it like to get out of it? And he said, you know what? They actually helped me in every sense of the word to get out of it. So every problem out there has positives and negatives. There's only trade-offs in this world, as Tom Sowell, one of my heroes, would say. So, you know, most of the time, you know, I think everybody should know what these positives and negatives are, weigh that in your decision-making, and, you know, find out whether it's worth it or not. But, you know, that's what I would consider the downside is getting into them, the big upheaval of getting into them, but certainly getting out of them is not an issue if we are right with the right PEO now.
We're talking with John Butler. He is the author of the book, Health Insurance Sucks, The Moral Case for Better Business Healthcare. You know, it's funny in the What Is It? What is the Health Insurance Suck book? It says, Health Insurance Sucks uncovers the sinister world of business healthcare and delivers new and powerful solutions that can implement today. And I think that's what we're talking about here, right? PEO is a potential new opportunity for somebody to think of something a different way, maybe something you haven't considered. Now, of course, every employer should look at what's best for them. They should look at the legal risks of all of this. We're just talking about, in general, new tools, new ideas. Let's look at the second one. And again, you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to Educational HR Radio. The second one you talk about, John, is custom plan designs. Give us an example, give us a reason what that actually means, because custom can mean anything. And maybe that's the point.
Yeah. And this is a much more involved conversation, but in general, I'll break it down. There's primary care costs. You're going to see the doctor for your physicals, your general checkups. There's prescription drug costs, obviously. There's outpatient surgery costs, and there's hospitalization. So those are the four main cost drivers. On custom health plan designs, what I found out through my research is that not only can a good consultant come in and show companies ways to control those cost drivers, but once they get a hold of the cost drivers and have more of a control over them, this is we were talking about incentives before. The custom plan designs are built with enormous incentives built into them. And so the biggest one that I can even think of is a gentleman that had managed Walmart's plan for them years ago. His name is Tom Emmerich. And $6 billion budget, I mean, with a B. And what he did was he set up what he calls smart care centers all around the United States. So for instance, here in Minnesota, the Mayo Clinic is a smart care center for transplants. And there's a separate one, I think Cleveland Clinic for heart and all of the major cancers and everything else. So he had their employees incentivized if they would use the smart care centers, which are the top performing healthcare centers in the nation. If they would just utilize those smart care centers, it would wipe out their deductibles. And he actually reduced Walmart's $6 billion spend by $1.8 billion in 18 months and kept it down ever since. So Tom, later on, Walmart allowed him to, or them to sign off on that particular smart care center plan. He started a company called Edison Healthcare, and that can be offered for companies of 750 employees or more all around the United States. And what I like about things like that, and there's many other things like this, but I like that these custom plan designs find the best out there for care. And, you know, it's not an intuitive thing, but believe it or not, the best care centers are the lowest ultimate cost center as well. That's the weirdest thing for me to understand in my research, that is true. And it's true all over the United States. So if you do a custom plan design right, you will incentivize your employees to use these particular smart care centers and so forth and so on. And, you know, we just had one in Minnesota that was only 140 employees. We set a custom plan design up for them, took their 3,000, 6,000 deductibles down to zero for all their employees, that they would just use the concierge service that would direct them to the best care centers at the most reasonable cost. If they would just do that, they wiped out their deductibles. That is serious change as far as I'm concerned.
No, that's real savings. That's real money. You know, is there any difference that organizations have to realize when it comes to different states? Obviously, healthcare can be regulated at a state level. And certainly there are certainly things that don't exactly fit nationwide that you have to be careful of. Is that something that organizations should be careful for when they start looking at all these different options or customized solutions?
Yeah, that's, I mean, oddly enough, this was just like 2 weeks ago that I talked to a company in Vermont of just 29 employees. And, you know, really they only have one carrier out there, Blue Cross Blue Shield. And so their network, you know, and their choices are seriously limited. So we still haven't gone through the entirety of this, but you know, the first thing is to rent a network that gives the employees the right choices, you know, their hospitals, their healthcare choices. And again, it's not a perfect solution here, but the first thing in a custom plan design is to make sure that there's a network. And a lot of times it's not as easy as you might think for these smaller states. So there's networks, then there's, you know, solution partners in each of the four cost driver areas that I just talked about. Direct primary care is doctors out, you know, operating outside the insurance network or the insurance system completely, you know, and that's flowering like crazy around the United States. But you look at each one of those four cost drivers, and is there a match for each one of those in every state? You better, before you even start down the road, it's like your GPS. I just was trying to go to Wells Fargo in a new town this morning. It took me to the wrong place. You know, you better know where you're going before you even start out, and because you could get shut down. So that is actually an excellent question. I've never been asked that before, but each state is completely different, Dave.
Yeah, no, and we know that certainly that those are things that you need to be fully aware of. And most people rely on the brokers for that. But I think based on this type of conversation, you should also know what your options are at a company level, what you can and can't do. And because if there is only one option or two options or limited options, mm-hmm. if you want to go outside and look at customized options that take you out of state, are they familiar with your state's regulations? Are they familiar with the nuances of your state and some of the things that happen within that?
Yeah.
So again, we're talking with John Butler. He's the author of the book, Health Insurance Sucks. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
In a recent survey, investors shared what they felt were the greatest threats to their retirement. It's no surprise the most common threats include stock market volatility, economic uncertainty, conflict in the Middle East, the 2020 presidential impeachment, and election. Unfortunately, there are many threats beyond your control that can affect your retirement savings. At Goldco, a leader in precious metals, the team believes one way to protect your investment portfolio is with physical gold and silver. Goldco has helped thousands of investors safeguard their retirement, especially in times of uncertainty. In fact, if you call 855-971-2006, Goldco will send you a free 1 ounce silver American Eagle coin. And all you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. No obligation. 100% free. Call 855-971-2006 to get your free silver American Eagle coin. That's 855-971-2006.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by cmacareer.com and vero-law.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio. Remember, you can go to hrpowerhour.com. You can check out the shows that are currently being offered and also upcoming shows. We also, as we said, have been able to be on Spotify and other downloadable, you know, podcast channels. Please go enjoy. And we have to thank, of course, all of our sponsors. Go to hrpowerhour.com and check them out. Please speak with them. We appreciate it. They're helping us provide you great content and great information. We are talking with John Butler. He is the author of the book, Health Insurance Sucks. No, I'm not swearing. I'm just saying a simple word. Health insurance sucks. It's one of the things. And it's also the moral case for better business healthcare. Maybe we should put that first, John. You know, on the front cover, I do love that there's a mask across the, you know, the face that says America will be silenced no more. Despite the fact of masks and that whole concept and issue, I think this is really an important discussion to have about, you know, healthcare, because people do struggle. We talked about two things in the last segment, which is PEO design and custom plan design as two potential options. But there's also the cafeteria design. And I'm probably guessing most people are pretty familiar with the cafeteria design, but let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, a cafeteria plan in the vernacular of benefits is completely different than the way I'm actually defining it here. I put a cafeteria plan design thinking about a lunchroom, and your boss gives you $15 every day to go to lunch and you get your own stuff. That's a cafeteria to me. Maybe that's different in Minnesota, to be honest with you. I don't even know. But the cafeteria design is something that is from a piece of legislation that was passed in June of 2019, became available January 1st of 2020. And it's literally, as I say, cuts off the head of the snake as far as the attachment to employers, which I talked about earlier, that, you know, when it started way back in World War II, you know, and it was a good option for employers when they own their own contract. But that kind of puts you in a claims mess with your employees and your 100 employees and how those claims are managed and so forth. This one offers a company literally the ability to just give tax-free money to their employees each and every month, and allows them to customize the program to get their own individual plans. And again, you know, that was a good comment you made before. There's good and bads to each one of these things. Some of the choices on individual plans, you know, in my state of Minnesota, the individual plans are 23% less than the group plan on average. And that might be different in your state or in Vermont or California. So, but that attachment to the claims is what most employers understand, is to say, look, I can do this now. And if my employees are happy by, you know, getting the right people in front of them, the right insurance agents, the right vendors, the administration, and everything else. What I can get out of that as an employer is avoid the 3 or 4 month renewal at the end of the year. My HR person could come back to me and say, well, here's what the rates look like on average in the individual marketplace. And it might be a 30-minute discussion that you just decide what your budget is. You either increase that, keep it the same, or whatever you want to do. You're not forced up in your rates by the insurance companies. That's one of the biggest things. And then the other thing is, you might be familiar with the penalties that were assessed through the Affordable Care Act for employers. Well, there's ways to actually very simply avoid those penalties now. So if you're a company of 50 to 500 employees, and you think you're going to get penalized at $2,500 per employee per year, that's a simple, simple solution now because of the new legislation that was passed. Most employers don't even realize they can do this. So that's probably, in a general sense, if you look around the country, that there's a, you know, maybe a premium differential, but that cutting off the head of the snake and employers not being connected to that contract, you know, it may or may not be a fit, but it's flowering very, very quickly around the United States right now. And at least people are looking into it to see if it does make sense.
In chapter 12 of your book, of course, it talks about the move from big insurance to big freedoms taking over. Mm-hmm. And you talk a little bit about health sharing. Mm-hmm. And this has certainly been something, health sharing plans. And this is certainly something that has certainly been advertised a lot mm-hmm. On the news. You hear it a lot on, you know, there are name brands that are being advertised in terms right. of sharing. What do you think of this type of option based on your book, based on the research that you've done?
Well, this is an evolving subject. Health sharing has been around for 20 plus years, believe it or not. There are two companies that I'm aware of myself that have entered the employer marketplace within the last 5 to 10 years. And most people don't even understand that these are available. But health sharing is simply described in one of the other chapters in my book. It's something outside the insurance system, first of all. It's completely outside the health insurance system, rules and regulations. That is a very, very big thing, okay? Most people don't understand health sharing. That's fine. This is an evolving thing. But, you know, my wife and I have been on a health sharing plan since 2018. My own doctor and his kids are on a health sharing plan today. So I bring up the example of a town of 1,000 people, and everybody just decides they're going to chip in so much money each month, and they're going to have a program for that town of 1,000 people that if anybody incurs any costs over $500, that big pool of money, which is in the book is about $1.2 million, is going to share in those expenses for everybody. They set it up with a treasurer, an administrator, make sure the claims are not overpaid, so forth and so on. That's really, in essence, a health sharing program. So, I mean, my wife and I were on a plan in 2018, a group plan, a traditional group insurance plan that was going up to $1,800 a month for our $4,000 HSA deductible or high deductible health plan. After much research, we decided to go on to a plan for $344 a month, which was close to $1,500 a month in savings. And that's guaranteed savings, first of all. Now, really not much has happened to us in the 3 years, but that same year of 2018, on Christmas Eve night, I had to rush my wife to the hospital because she had a pain in her arm. I thought maybe heart attack, I wasn't sure. Turned out to be an infection. She was treated for 4 hours there, she was fine. So a big sigh of relief, but I get about 6 weeks later, I get the bill in the mail for $66,750, which I expected that, right? But this is what I didn't expect. I called the hospital and I said to the gal, I said, I'm really questioning this bill. She goes, well, what insurance do you have? I go, we don't have insurance. We're cash payers under a health sharing plan. And she right away said to me, okay, well, hold on. Let me get to my other system here. I didn't even know what she was talking about. She got to another computer system for cash paying patients. And in about 15 minutes, my bill was reduced to $3,125. It was a 53% reduction in 10 minutes. And I submitted that to our health sharing. We paid the first $500, they paid the rest. And we've been on one ever since. So health sharing combined with individual health insurance is starting to be, it's probably one of the more progressive ideas. Wasn't my idea. Company on the East Coast is, you know, my colleagues out there have been doing it for 2 years now, but, you know, they have, you know, case after case where they've reduced down costs 30, 40, even 60% total. and the resulting benefits on the other side, which is really the important thing of what the employees get, is better coverage for the cost. So, and that's really kind of who I care about, is the employees.
No, that's serious savings and something that employers should consider as options. Again, we're talking with John Butler, author of Health Insurance Sucks. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
Don't you love that feeling when you just nailed your look? When someone you barely even know comes up to you and says, "Oh, I love that outfit. Where did you get it?" That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix. They're a personal styling service. Tell them what you love, and they send great clothes for you to try on at home. Stitch Fix is simple. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands you love and the looks that make you feel great. Stitch Fix is convenient. Get everything delivered right to you, so you can try on new styles in the comfort of your own home. Stitch Fix is on your terms and priced to fit your budget. There's no subscription required, ever. Keep what you want and send back anything you don't. So, isn't it time you started nailing your look? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for women, men, and kids. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
You don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust, and it won't be a fuss.
Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y. Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home. Sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot. Driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe. Put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAKorea.com and Barrow-Law.com. I'm your host, Stephen Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio. And again, today we're talking with John Butler. He's the author of the book, Health Insurance Sucks, The Moral Case for Better Business Healthcare. John, we've talked about a lot of options today, and clearly you're passionate about this topic and enjoy talking about it. And you had mentioned before that, you know, you really felt that this is something that employers should take very seriously and look at. How could they become as excited as you about the different options and actually spend the time to make this worth their while?
Yeah, that's, I don't know if they can really go down the road of excitement on health insurance and healthcare. What sparks me is really, I mean, literally who I dedicate the book to is the employees of the companies, because they are completely in the dark on this. And, you know, to see better benefits at lower costs is almost, it seems impossible. But when they don't have any kind of hand in making these decisions, you know, because the employers are the ones that pay a pretty good portion, sometimes 100% of that premium for employees, You know, they are just left with, you know, you hire me, find out what the healthcare program is like, how much it paid out of my, coming out of my payroll check each month. And I'm usually left with, you know, a $3,000 to $6,000 deductible with maybe out of pocket costs that are higher than that. And even though I've got a catastrophic plan, probably what irks me the most is that, you know, most of the bankruptcies around the nation are due to this. 60% of bankruptcies are from healthcare. And 75% of that 60% had health insurance, for goodness sakes. So if we can improve on the cost of the healthcare for employers, that obviously everyone that I've done, most every employer has shared those savings with their employees, but to get a better plan at a lesser cost and leave all those employees coming back to their wives and their husbands to say, God, guess what? We actually have a better plan at work now, and it's going to be less coming out of our payroll checks. That is something that's unbelievable. I mean, it sounds too good to be true. And, you know, whenever I describe some of these things, you know, it sounds too good to be true. It was too good to be true for me when I started 7 years ago researching it, but it is true.
John, when you're in the last minute here thinking about somebody's looking to get the book, and of course they can go to Amazon or any bookstore to get the book. And again, the book, of course, is called Health Insurance Sucks, a title that nobody will forget. When somebody gets the book, what's the one thing you want them to take away?
I really want them to understand that they've got a choice and they've got the freedom to make that choice. It just popped into my head right now, but I've got a gentleman that just came to me yesterday, and my technician from my computer, he said, what are my choices? I told him about the health sharing plan, and he can actually come back to his boss and say, look, I've got this available. It's only $280 a month. Or you want me to shine yours for $600. And your boss doesn't know about it. But if your boss knew that that was available, almost all of them would pay that cost on your behalf, because that's much better than the $600 they got. It's the freedom to make the choice.
You know, and freedom is what America's all about. So America will not be silenced no more, right? And the book, The Moral Case for Better Business Healthcare, the title, well, who knows? Health insurance sucks. Who forgets that? No one, John. I appreciate you being a guest today on the show. Have yourself a wonderful week, and hopefully we'll have you back sometime soon.
Well, it was a pleasure being on, David. Appreciate it very much.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.